right. We'll continue with the target spot theme here for another talk. Our next speaker, University of Georgia, Manuela Samaso. Samaco. I was going to go with Samaco, but it didn't seem right. Identification of host selective toxins in Cornespora acicola, causing target spot of cotton, soybean, and tomato.
So, thank you for that introduction. Good afternoon, everyone. So, my presentation for today will be about a part of my master's research, but mostly I'll be focusing on talking about what we are trying to do to determine if there's host specificity in these toxins and how or whether there's an interaction between these toxins and the different inoculated host plants, but specifically we'll be focusing on cotton. So the first question that we would want to ask is, why are we conducting this research? So first, if we are able to identify the host selective toxins that are involved in the pathogenicity of the disease in cotton, then there's implication in disease management. And also, we can use these toxins that are prepared in solution form instead of growing the actual isolates for screening of multiple cotton varieties and lines for resistance to target spot in cotton. So talking about target spot disease in cotton, as you can see in these pictures on this slide, we all know that its symptoms are characterized by brown to black necrotic lesions of irregular concentric rings with a white center that looks like target darts, hence the name target spot disease. And it's mostly a foliar disease, but it can also occur on fruits, bracts and bowls, as you can see here in this picture on the right. And it's been reported to result to significant yield losses before, and we also know that it's been caused by an ascomycete fungus that taxonomically belongs to the same order of fungi that are known to produce secondary metabolites and host selective toxins, one of which is Bipolaris maetis. So going to a wider range, we know that target spot disease is not only been cited in cotton, but it is also have been implicated in other major agricultural crops in southeastern United States, such as in soybean, where it was reported in South Carolina and Mississippi, and in tomato in Florida. Involving these three major crop systems, there's been a recent study that was published by a former PhD student in our lab, wherein they concluded that the Cornespora acicola isolates collected from different hosts in southeastern United States exhibit host specialization. Now, at this point, we would want to know what drives the host specialization of these isolates and if host selective toxins can be potentially involved in this host specialization scheme. So, in talking about host selective toxins, by default, we know that Cornespora acicola produces one host selective toxin called acicolin, which is a protein that is encoded by six different Cas gene variants. And it was also reported that this protein is involved in the pathogenicity and virulence in a disease in rubber. So in the case of the southeastern United States isolates of Cornespora acicola, in that similar study by our former PhD student, they found out that different Cas variants were present on the genome of the soybean cotton isolates, but were missing on the tomato isolates. So they used a genomics approach on this, and as you can see, Cas2 and Cas7 were found in the cotton genome, while Cas2 and 6 were found on the soybean genome. So we would want to know if acicolin is actually involved as a toxin in these isolates, and how is acicolin involved in the host specialization of these isolates. And in the case of the tomato isolates, what can be other potential host selective toxins that might be present? So moving forward in that same study, they tried to sequence the genome of the Cornespora acicola southeastern United States isolates, and then they compared the results to the available online references, and they were able to find other secondary metabolites present on the genome. So one interesting metabolite that they found out was the T-toxin gene cluster, and they find this on the genome of the cotton, soybean, and tomato isolates. And as we all know, the T-toxin gene cluster is also related to the southern corn leaf blight that is caused by Bipolaris maidis. And in this table here on the right, the six other secondary metabolites were actually found on the genome of Carinus paracasicola, and the variability of their or of the host where they were actually found on. So at this point, we are conducting our research to actually identify or determine if these metabolites are actually produced by Carinus paracasicola and if there's an interaction existing between the toxins and the inoculated hosts. So moving forward, we tried to investigate the effect of culture filtrates which actually contain the toxins on inoculated host plants. So before we arrive at this protocol, we did some optimizations. The first of which is we used two different types of media. The first one is the usual potato dextrose broth, which is a nutrient-rich media. And the other one is the modified Chapex medium, which is a nutrient-deprived media. And then we were able to observe that the fungal culture filtrates that were grown in the nutrient-deprived media were more toxic on the inoculated host plants because the fungus is subjected into stress, and under stressful conditions, it is induced to produce more than the normal amounts of the secondary metabolites. So we grow these culture filtrates for about 20 days in the nutrient-deprived media, and then we tried to filter out the spores and the mycelia using Wattmann filter paper and the 0.22 micron millipore membrane. And then we tried to infiltrate these filtrates on the host plants. So from this part of the experiment, we were able to see these results. So this slide just shows you a bunch of pictures, but it's just saying that the culture filtrates somehow exhibit a degree of host specificity in terms of symptom expression, which just translates to, as you can see on this picture here on the right, the culture filtrates of fungal isolates collected from target spot infected cotton were more toxic when inoculated on cotton host as compared to the full culture filtrates of fungal isolates collected from target spot infected soybean and tomato when they are inoculated on the cotton host. So, but we can also see that there's some good result in terms of the tomato culture filtrates and also on the soybean culture filtrates, but the bottom line is there's host specificity with the cotton culture filtrates. So this slide is just to show you that we also did this experiment on tomato plants and on soybean plants, and there were some promising results from the tomato plants, but there's not much variability for the soybean plants. So with this kind of initial results, we want to move forward by actually using cotton and soybean isolates for the cotton and tomato isolates for the succeeding experiments. But for the purpose of this talk, I'll just be demonstrating what we had from the cotton isolates. So we also did the statistics in terms of the lesion area, and then this just shows you the original host of the fungal isolates where the culture filtrates were actually obtained from, and then their inoculated hosts. And then the dots just represent the mean lesion area, and then the shaded part were just the outliers. And from here, we were able to measure that the bigger lesion area were found on the cotton filtrates when they are inoculated on the cotton host, and the same on the tomato filtrates when they are inoculated under host of origin. And this difference here in letters for each inoculated host just signifies that these values are significantly different from each other. So this is the second bioassay, and we actually did this experiment twice just to confirm our results, and we were able to observe the same types of results. So at this point, we now know that there's some degree of host specificity in terms of the culture filtrates. So the next thing or the next question that we want to ask is, what components are actually present in this culture filtrates? Are they proteinaceous or non-proteinaceous in nature? Because if they are actually proteinaceous in nature, then there's probably a high chance that acetylcholine might be involved in the reaction. So moving forward, what we did is we tried to treat the culture filtrates with proteinase K just to degrade the whatever proteinaceous compounds are found on that filtrates, and then inoculate those treated filtrates to host plants. And then we were able to observe these results on that part of the experiment. So as you can see, even though we treated the culture filtrates with the proteinase K, they still show reaction on the inoculated host plants. But definitely, there are proteinaceous components involved because there's difference in symptom expression. And just for comparison, we also tried to treat the growth media with proteinase K and to see if there's an effect. So there you have it. And then at this point, we know that there's host specificity, and aside from that, we know that there are non-proteinaceous components involved. So the next step moving forward is to actually, we want to know what are the actual compounds or components present on those filtrates. So for this part of the experiment, we did a bioassay-guided fractionation of the culture filtrates, wherein we hypothesized that at the start, these pure culture filtrates contain 100 thousands of active components, and by actually separating the culture filtrates into different components, then we can identify into which fractions where the active metabolites are. So from this part, we were able to get a total of 11 fractions, 0% to 100% methanol, and we tried to infiltrate those fractions to host plants. And then this bunch of pictures here just show you what reaction we were able to obtain from inoculating those host plants. So this picture here on the uppermost left just shows you the reaction we got from the positive control or the pure culture filtrates, and the succeeding pictures just show you the reaction that we had from each of the fractions. So from this inoculation procedure, we were able to observe that two of the fractions actually had the most significant reaction in inoculated cotton plants. And then we also did the statistics for the lesion areas of these inoculated fractions, and we can all see that these two fractions are indeed significantly different compared to the other fractions. Now, the next step that we want to do is to subfractionate these two fractions that show toxic reactions on inoculated host plants to further identify or characterize the active components that are present. So at this point of our research, we have the following conclusions. First, the culture filtrates that are present on Carnespora acicola exhibit some form of host specificity. And then these culture filtrates tend to be more toxic when they are inoculated under host of origin. And we also conclude that non-proteinaceous components are actually present on these filtrates, and that these active components can be separated into individual fractions. So moving forward, for the future directions of our research, specifically we aim to subfractionate those two filtrate fractions that actually show pronounced or promising results on inoculated host plants by using a different type of methodology, which is LC-MS, to further characterize those fractions. And then generally speaking, these results can also be used for screening of cotton varieties for resistance to target spot, and in future breeding and developing programs for resistant cotton cultivars. So with that, I would want to acknowledge the help of my committee members, the Brewer Mycology Lab, the Toxicology and Mycotoxin Research Unit of USDA, our department, and Cotton Incorporated. Thank you.